Welcome to the Sunday night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Kelly G., a compulsive overeater from Florida.
Thank you so much, everybody. Kelly G., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. So grateful to be here. So grateful to do service. So I'm just going to pray to God to speak through me and give me the words to help somebody in this room. And please help me shine your light, God, because you are everything and I am nothing without you. Amen. So I love the times. I'm starting my time. I love the times when I'm asked to speak and I don't like prep this whole thing. So I'm truly speaking from the heart and anything I say is so divine because it's just coming out. You know, I started this journey like 14 years ago. And what it looked like was I had no idea what was wrong with me. I could not stop eating and I didn't know what it was. So I went to college at the, well, I went to college at Roger Williams. It's in Rhode Island. And I lost a bunch of weight. I was always a chubby kid, lost a bunch of weight freshman year of college, and then had a breakup and gained 30 pounds. Now that's not normal for a breakup, right? Within like 3 months, 30 pounds. And I could not stop eating. So I did the geographical move and I thought, well, if I move to Florida and go to the University of Miami, where you have to look good, it's a requirement to get in there, then I won't want to eat. So I transferred to the University of Miami. And I didn't even make it half a semester. It was around Thanksgiving. And I couldn't stop eating. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. And I remember being in a lecture hall and I was munching on something, hearing the bag crinkle. And I remember the professor said, "Oh, excuse me. Yeah, we can't eat in here." And I left because I needed to eat. So I left. And I couldn't go on. I could not go on eating beyond my will. And I remember one day, one night, I went to bed, I guess. I passed out because of the food. And I remember falling asleep on my floor. And I wake up in the morning and there's a note on my bathroom door because I had a roommate. And she wrote, "I'm so sorry about last night. I'm so sorry. Like, we'll clean everything up." And I'm thinking to myself, wait, what? Like, there was a party in my apartment. People used my bathroom. And I literally woke up in a coma in my bathroom. In my bedroom, I had no idea what was going on. Like, this disease is so powerful. And yet, like, nobody knows that I'm dying when I'm going to the grocery store with other people who are not dying and who aren't hurting themselves. So I ended up before Thanksgiving taking a medical leave and going to a treatment center. And it was to the point code red where it's so scary because when I didn't know the ingredients and I couldn't stop, it was like, well, all right, then I won't do carbs or I won't eat all day until at night or I'll do. So I went to a treatment center that took us to meetings every single day. And some of them were AA meetings. Some of them were, yeah, AA or OA. And I was like, this is just not me. Like, why are we going to an AA meeting? I can't stop eating. But it was the 12 steps. And that's how I was introduced to this 12 steps. And I remember the treatment program was 30 days. And I was like, I am not staying 30 days. I'll stay a week and I'm out of here. I ended up staying 2 months. And that's where I learned that I had an allergy. As it says in the doctor's opinion, the goal of the doctor's opinion is to teach us that we have an allergy. So not understanding what was wrong with me. Now I understand, okay, I have an allergy. What that means is this isn't my fault. It's not my fault that I am wired differently and my head lights up like a Christmas tree when I eat certain ingredients. So that's great that it's not my fault, but like, then what? Okay, like, then what? So I started following a food plan and I weigh and measure my food. And after the 60 days, I went back to college and I felt like I was a changed person because now I realized what was wrong with me. And the tools that we have in OA, right? Food plan, journaling, sponsorship, all the tools, right? Those are all great. And just side note, if anyone ever is having a tough day and you want to pick up and you just, if you go through each tool and you're like, okay, I journaled. Okay, I followed my food plan. Okay, I spoke with my sponsor. Okay, I made a phone call. Like, if you literally do each of the tools, I think there's eight, like, you're in pretty good shape to make it through. Like, those tools are there. And so, this is a program solely based on a relationship with a higher power. It's not about how many meetings we go to, it's not about how great our food plan is. It's literally about my relationship with God. And so, I left treatment and I didn't have that relationship yet. I had a food plan. I knew what was wrong with me. I'm starting to lose a few pounds here and there because I'm not binging. But I got out of treatment and I did the exact same things that I did in treatment outside of treatment. So I bought the same kind of rice that I learned to buy in treatment. And I went to meetings every single day. And I woke up at 7:30 every morning and I had lunch at noon. Like, I needed structure. I needed discipline. Until this day, I need that. Like, monkey see, monkey do. Like, I need like the most simple, basic things because my mind is so crazy. I need the staples in my life. So meetings were always very important to me. I got a sponsor. I worked the steps. I was sponsoring. And guess what? I had 8.5 years of abstinence. 8.5 years. Went to college, joined a sorority. I beat to my own drum. I wasn't a drinker. I never was. But I was just kind of like that mystery girl who like it was almost like, what is she on? Like, I have this glow. I'm in college. I'm the new girl. I transferred in. You see me here, then I disappear for 2 months. So it's like, where'd you go? Was she just here? Like, it was all this, you know? But I was so okay in my skin. Like, people would see me bring my Tupperware and I would eat my Tupperware in class or, you know, anywhere. And it was like, people gravitate towards that behavior. When people see somebody who has that glow, who looks the way they want to look, who wishes they could eat the way they eat, it's attractive. And I was proud of it. I'm like, I'm putting in this effort to care for myself. Like, people don't like to put in that effort. They're lazy. But I wasn't. I never cut corners with myself because cutting corners to me was to give in to the disease, to say, you know what, Kelly, you're right. You're not worth it. You're a piece of shit. You're not worth it. Just do it. Just do it again. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? If it's not today, it's going to be tomorrow. Just give up. So 8.5 years in, right? So December 8th of 2020, 8.5 years, I was in a relationship. I had it all. I had the car, I had the job. I lived on the beach. I had the body for sure. But guess what? I hated myself. I had the bedevilments. I had the anger. I had the rage. I would kick things. I would threaten to call the police on my boyfriend. I would slay, he'd lock me out of my apartment. He'd lock me out of the guest room. I was a terror. I was a terror. Like, what kind of program is that? Like, I'm going to meetings. I have the best of friends in these rooms. I'm sponsoring. I have a sponsor, but guess what? I have no relationship with God. And that's the thing. I can have it all, but if I don't have that peace, I have nothing. I'm on borrowed time. And that's what happened. And I want to share my screen to just give you a little bit of an example of what I'm talking about because, you know, all right, can everyone see my screen? Yeah, okay. So this is me. Okay, this is me 8.5 years. I'm on vacation in Mexico with a girlfriend, right? You'd never know that I was almost 200 pounds. Okay, so then I pick up the food, and then this is me. I pick up the food, and in 11 months, I gained 80 pounds. 11 months. Okay, so this is me. I don't know whether to lay down. I don't know whether to sit up. I don't know whether to throw up. I don't know whether to go to the bathroom. I'm so nauseous. I have an ice pack on my head. My cheeks are puffy. This is me. This is my hair. Every single day in a bun. Who cares? Doesn't care, don't care. I'm miserable. Then, believe it or not, this picture is right after I got recovered after my relapse and I had an Achilles heel injury. And this is me few weeks after I got recovered. And let me tell you how peaceful I was here. I remember waiting in the waiting room of this hospital's on Christmas, December 25th. And I was sitting with my mom and she's panicked. I'm like, "Mom, it's all good. Like, God's got this. God's got this. Everything's gonna be fine. Like, I'm not in the food." And I was in a wheelchair for a month. I couldn't do anything for myself. And here's someone who's dying to lose weight, but it wasn't the main thing. I really was at peace with it. But imagine just getting recovered and it's like, now this happens. Like, what kind of higher power do I have? Right. But it was actually the most beautiful thing because it put in perspective that some people live their life like this and they can't walk or they're in a wheelchair bound. That's not my situation. And guess what? If I was in the food and I couldn't walk for a month, I can't even fathom the amount of weight that I would put on. Can't even fathom. Instead, I took this opportunity and I was like, let me see how many people I can help, how many meetings I can get to. Let me see like how I can make myself useful. And guess what? In a wheelchair for a month, I lost weight. I lost weight, not moving a muscle. And this is me today. This is at my best friend's house in Texas. It was her baby shower. This is my niece, the love of my freaking life. She doesn't know me any other way than in recovery. And these are two of my best girlies from program that I met in the rooms that cry together. We pray together. We just do this dance. And here's two other amazing pillars in my recovery from program that are like lifelines to me. So this program, wait, how do I get back here? Hang on. And how do I st oh, here, stop share. Okay. Okay, perfect. This program like saved me. So what happened was I picked up December of 2020. November of 2021 is when I had met my sponsor. Now let me tell you, like through that period of time, I didn't leave the rooms. Yes, I ordered takeout, knocking on the door during a meeting with my camera off. Like, yes, I called out sick to my job that I worked at home. I worked at home. How do you call out sick? You wear a headset and you work. I called out sick. I remember my boss called me and he FaceTimed me because my boss, like, we were very close. I'm not in that job anymore. And he FaceTimed me and I was eating penne alla vodka at 10 a.m. He just FaceTimes me. So anyway, just to like give you that's where it went. But I had numerous sponsors in relapse. I kept firing them. I'm like, thank you so much for your time. I just don't want to waste it. Like, thank you. They'd be like, you know, call me in 3 days. You know, I'd pick up. They're like, okay, call me in 3 days. And it's like, okay. And then 3 days, I pick up. So it's like, then I just don't end up calling. Like, I wanted this so bad. I wanted to stop eating so bad. And it got to the point I'd wear like the same oversized Old Navy dress like every day. And it had stains on it. And it was just gross. And I would just wear that. And I've lived in an apartment building, same building I'm currently in. And if someone was in the elevator, I would wait. I didn't want them to see me. I would make sure no one was in the elevator because I was wearing the same blue dress and I was going to get more food. And I kept growing each day and I didn't want to be seen. So it was so miserable. And I never knew when it was going to stop. I started turning to that place of no return where I accepted the fact that, like, I lost my boyfriend left me. He broke up with me. And I left my job and I moved to an apartment building that wasn't my condo on the beach that I loved. And I just felt like I had nothing. Like, what's the point? I didn't want to kill myself, but I wanted to die, if that makes sense. And so that's where I was at. And a fellow had told me, "Hey, you should listen to this podcast. It really helped." I'm like, "All right, sure." And I listened to this podcast and it was like one of the best podcasts. I was like, this is like spot on, where one of the highlights was about I only can see what was bothering me after I ate. It was almost like I couldn't identify what was bothering me. I just wanted the ease and comfort. And then once I was like that exhale, once I take that first bite, it was like, oh yeah, that's what was bothering me. Yeah. It was like I needed that in order to realize it was bothering me to then regret taking that bite. It was only after the fact that I had that clarity. And today I don't have that luxury. If I'm restless, irritable, discontent, I have like, there's only one option, which is not to eat. So then what do I do to get relief? Right? Then I call a fellow. I cry. I'm a big crier. I'm a baby. I cry. I'm like that little girl inside that's like, if I don't get my way, I'm pissed. I'm not okay with it. So I listened to this podcast and I called this woman who did the podcast, and she didn't pick up, thank God. And she didn't call back for a while, thank God. And then when I was at my rock bottom, probably 3 or 4 weeks later, I go to my parents' house. They're in Naples. So it's about an hour and 45 minutes from me. And I just remember wearing my Old Navy dress, packing some leggings, and going there and saying, I'm not coming back to the apartment that I currently live in. And I'm not leaving my parents' house until I get back into my treatment center. And I'm off. I'm off. That's it. And I go to my parents' house. I have like a level 10 migraine headache from all the sugar. And it's like 3 in the afternoon. I'm laying in my king size bed like a snow angel, you know, with all my hands out, my legs spread, like just like I surrender, like I don't. And then my phone rings and I'm like, oh no. And I didn't recognize the number. So of course I pick up, like God answered the phone. Cause like, you think I want to talk to anybody? No. God answers the phone. It's the woman who did the podcast. Hi, I'm so sorry. I haven't called you back yet. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, huh, no problem. She said, how are you? And so we started talking, and I remember the phone was on my stomach. It was on speaker, it was on my stomach. And I'm just listening. You know, I told her I'm at the worst place I've ever been. You know, and I didn't even ask her to sponsor me. We spoke for like 45 minutes. I fell asleep on her, and I hear her saying, hello, hello. I was like, oh my, I'm so sorry. I just fell asleep. Like I was so in a coma. And she's like, look, I'm not available to sponsor. P.S. Didn't ask her to sponsor me. She's like, but call me tomorrow morning at like 10. Let me just see how you're doing. I'm like, okay. So I call her the next day at 10 o'clock. And she's like, I've been praying about it and I feel led to sponsor you. And I'm like, look, that is so sweet. I said, I can't keep a sponsor. Like if you paid me $1 million to let you sponsor me, like I can't. Like I don't know, like this the same pattern's been happening. And I said, I'm trying to get into my treatment center because I can't be alone. And she was like, what if you give me 110% every day we talk, you do 5 minutes in prayer and meditation. 5 minutes. We talk every single day. And if this doesn't work, give this one more try. If this does not work, go into treatment, exhaust those options. And I said, well, look, that all sounds great, but Bill's story is Bill's story. Like, if I reread it again for the millionth time, like, nothing is going to change. Like, I know how it ends. I know how it starts. I know the middle part. He's got what I have. Like, I'm just going to read it again. Like, all of a sudden, something's going to click. So I got a new big book and I worked the steps with her. And day seven, I was like a lion looking for anything I could eat. And I remember being in my parents' house. My mom has a secret stash of chocolate in her pocketbook in her closet. And it's like, first of all, what is that? I've known it my whole life. And second of all, like, I want all of it. And I remember rummaging over. This is what I did. I walked into her closet, big closet. And I start sniffing the chocolate because that's what I do. I sniff it. I want the effect. If I can't ingest it, I'm going to start sniffing it and teasing myself. And then I unwrapped half of it. And then I said, you know what? If I pick up here, like I'm here to save my life. I'm here because I can't be left alone. If I do that, I'm really screwed because I have this sponsor who told me, like, she's not doing the back and forth dance. Like, she's like, if you pick up, you pick up. Like, onto someone else, like I don't do the back and forth. And I remember calling a fellow and she said to me, Kelly, what time is it right now? And I said, well, it's 4 o'clock. She goes, okay, what time are you going to bed? I said, like 10. She goes, okay, what if I told you for 6 hours, you will have to endure this discomfort. But when you wake up in the morning, you won't feel it anymore. You won't have that same urge. And I said, look, yeah, for 6 hours, right? If we all knew when our discomfort was going to end, if I knew when I'm getting abstinent that, okay, from 2 o'clock to seven, I'm going to want to eat more than anything, but come 9 a.m. the next day, free. Then, yeah, bring it on. I can hold on for 7 hours. So I said to her, I go, look, like, yeah, I guess if you put it like that for 6 hours, but like, it's not going to stop. Like, I know this. And she's like, okay, like, just see. So I go to my room, my parents' house. I put the chocolate down. I go to my room. The phone rings. I'm like, what is this? Number I don't know. I pick it up. And this woman calls and she says, hi, so and so just told me to call you that you were struggling. The last thing I feel like doing is talking. But my friend just told her to call me. I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like, hi, yeah, thanks for calling. Not doing well and also not in the mood to talk. She's like, you know what? I'm not really in the mood to talk either. I'm just trying to do service. And I was like, okay, all right. And she started telling me all about her life. And she was waiting on the side of the road to go to her second job for the day. So she works night shift and day shift and has a daughter whose boyfriend just killed himself. And her, like she had no money at one point and was in a coma from an ex-husband that almost tried to kill her. She's been to jail because she made amends and then got arrested for the amends she made. And then in jail, works the steps with someone and they both got out sober. I mean, she had this story where I was like, for 5 seconds, I wasn't thinking about food. Like, she had that kind of story where you need to tell me that she's free and I'm not. Like, I'm trying to just make it through till dinner, and she is free as a bird and has lived like a nightmare life. And she is so grateful. She's working nonstop, she has no money. But she had this message of like, I'm so grateful for my life. And I'm like, if she can do it, I can do it. And that phone call got me to that next day. And from day eight on, no urge, no urge. And my girlfriend called me the next day. She goes, how do you feel? I said, I feel great. I have no desire to eat. And that's where the stumbling block is for most. And I will speak for myself, but I know you all relate, is it's that hump. It's almost like that roller coaster, right? When you don't know how high up it's going to go. Like, when is that thing going to go before it goes down? It's like that pain, that excruciating pain that feels like you'd rather die than go on another minute with that urge and that pull and that craving. Like, I would do anything for that bite. But if I just wait, like literally like hours later, and I get to that other side, there is so much freedom and there's so much relief. And that's what I'm seeking, is the relief. And relief is only going to come through that discomfort. Because I today don't want to live my life with postponing pain. If I know inevitably that I'm going to have to feel what I'm trying to run from, I want to feel it now, get rid of it, be done with it. And like, I hate to say this out loud, but you know, I think about it like with cancer, right? Like, thank you God I don't have it. But you know, my mom is a survivor of breast cancer. And I just think about like, I'm the kind of person where it's like, if I have I actually need to go to the dermatologist. I never wear sunscreen, I'm always in the sun. But I'm the kind of person where it's like, if there's something on me that I need removed, I want it removed now. Like, we're not going to book it in October. Like, well, it is October. We're not going to book it in like March. Like, we're doing it tomorrow. Like, what's the availability tomorrow? Like, I want to feel everything right now that I need to feel, positive or uncomfortable, because I don't want to postpone the pain. Give it to me now. I can handle it now. I don't want to wait. And it's, I fear discomfort. Sometimes I fear my own company. That's okay. I can still work this program and not be at perfect ease with myself 24/7. I can also not like myself. You know, things come up. But today it's like I know that I do my very best to be who God wants me to be so imperfectly, so freaking imperfectly. But it's like I need that structure. And that sponsor currently is not my sponsor. And I have another amazing sponsor. And I'm so grateful that I have that structure where, like, if I don't send my nightly review, I get that text like, hey, did you wake up this morning? Like, are you still breathing? 'Cause, like, where is it? I have those check-ins where it's like, I remember she once called me and she goes, hey, I'm just calling to remind you you're a compulsive overeater. And I was like, oh, thank you. Yes, I am. And it's like we need each other and we need that because it's so easy to get lost in life. And right now my life is full. I'm in this relationship. It's a new one. And I can't prep. It's never like I'm going to be ready to meet my person. I'm never going to be ready to meet my person. It's like being ready to be a mom. Like you're never ready. It just happens and you suit up and like there it is. And I'm like in this
5 minutes.
thing so much. And it's like I'm in this relationship and it's like here we are. And all the defects and all the resentments and all the bedevilments and like every single thing happens. And it's like, there's such a perfect example today that happened where I was home all day today. And my boyfriend was golfing all day, like 2 hours away. And I said, hey, like I'm trying to be chill, but I hate not knowing when he's going to be back. It's like, 'cause I want to have dinner ready and I want to like shower and I want to clean up and I still have my dishes in the sink. So it's like, hey, just give me a heads up, like when you're headed home, just let me know. And then I'm at the grocery store, haven't showered, nothing, dishes in the sink, an air conditioning person came, my air conditioner not working. He goes, I'll be there in 9 minutes. I started crying. I literally started crying and he's like, what's wrong? And I was like, I don't have anything done. I've not, like, I was so excited to see him and it was all about me. Like, I'm not perfect. I don't have the house in order. I'm not showered. I wanted dinner to be a certain way. I wanted things to, he just wants to get home and be together. Like, what is the big deal? And it was like, I was so mad at him for not telling me his ETA. And it's like as if he did something horrible. And I don't like that version of me. And it's so yucky. Like, thank God that's yucky. 'Cause before it would, I'd still be so resentful and it's their fault. And it's like, no. It's my fault. I'm putting these expectations on myself. And it has nothing to do with him. He did nothing wrong. He came home from golf, like, big whoop. So, I like these challenges. I'm embracing the challenges, but at the end of the day, I know that I need to live my life aligned with God's will. Honest, integrity, open-mindedness, willingness to see other perspectives. This is a challenge. Work happens, managers, parents, family. I have so much going on, but it's like I have nothing without God. And I can't change without praying for God to remove whatever I'm looking to change in myself. And there's things that I hold on to for dear life that I'm not willing to change, And it's like I'm just gonna be as miserable as it's time to give it up. And that's okay. That's totally okay. But it's like God shows up when I seek. And the hardest part is when it doesn't look or turn out the way that I wished it did. But that's when the postponing, the gratification comes in, where it's like, oh, like I can only connect the dots after the fact. I can't connect the dots leading up to them. I can only see the picture that is built as I'm connecting the dots looking back. So I don't understand what the image is going to look like. But I do understand that it's going to be pretty and it's going to make sense. And the shape is going to be very clear when the dots are connected. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the future is going to hold, And I can't afford to hate myself today. I can't afford it. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of taking that bat and beating myself up for every single thing that I do. That's not perfect. The dialogue in my head, it doesn't miraculously go away. I had plenty of dialogues before this meeting that were not very kind, to myself. But, then I can show up and be a light, and turn the switch, change the channel. And so my just to say, whatever your routine is for yourself to create that structure, wake up in the morning, I pray and meditate. At night, I do my nightly review. In the middle of the day, I'll reach out to others, try to do service as much as possible, stay abstinent. And just know that any discomfort is temporary as long as we don't give in to the food. Everything is temporary. It only becomes permanent when I continue to pick up. That is the cycle. And we can't do it alone. We have each other. We're all here. It's a Sunday night. We choose to be here, together. We pause and we gather because we have no choice. We have no choice today. I know I don't. So thank you so much for having me. And with that, I will say goodnight.
Thank you so much, Kelly. That was awesome.